You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 116.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That little teaser was a clip from a song called On a Podcast by the band Cruise Box. Yeah, I guess you could say it's sort of an unofficial anthem for podcasters. Certainly very appropriate for a podcast on podcasting. When I hear it, I think I learned it on a podcast, and I hope you will too. The full piece will be played in full at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to all of the resources I discuss on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. So, today I'm going to be talking about podcasting, sort of a podcasting 101. I've done this periodically in the past, but of course the technology changes, and I thought I would give you a rundown this time. So I'll be talking about the little bit of background and history of podcasting, how to create, publish, and distribute your own podcasts, and talk about the benefits of podcasting for teaching and learning, and where you can look for more information. So first, a little background and history of podcasting. Now, podcasting is a phenomenon that came about as part of Web 2.0. I guess that's what you could call the participatory or the read-write web, and this has brought blogs, wikis, podcasts, and a lot of the other social media that we're very used to today, such as Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and so on. So actually, podcasts predated some of the services like Facebook that are very popular today. Podcasting has been a very fast-growing technology, some say faster than the adoption of DVDs. And people have called it sort of a TiVo for internet radio. If you recall, internet radio has been around for a long time, and that's distinguished by the fact that it's streaming content. So it's a little bit different than podcasting, as you'll find. Now, despite the origin of the term podcast, which was, of course, derived from the release of the Apple iPod, iPods are not required. In fact, some early podcasters wrote a song about it. So all you actually need is an MP3 player. Most people use their smartphone for that. Of course, in the past, people would download the podcast and burn it to a CD and play it in the car or the living room. But if you're keeping up with some of the latest hardware, that's no longer necessary, and you can play the programs directly from your portable device. So podcasting really was a marriage of two technologies, MP3 music files and RSS, which I'll talk about more in a moment. That stands for Really Simple Syndication. Adam Curry, who you may remember as being the first video jockey on MTV, has been called the Podfather. He's one of the originators of podcasting, and along with some other technologists, also helped to develop RSS 2.0, which has enabled podcasting. In fact, I listened to Adam Curry, as far back as 2004, I think. And just to digress a bit, a little story, I used to take a long subway ride into work, and I was tired of listening to my music on CDs, and I did a Google search one day, hoping to find something like a recording of National Public Radio, which I liked to listen to when I was above ground and could tune in on my radio. And I came across an article about Adam Curry and podcasting. I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I became a devotee of Adam Curry. He had a program that he recorded every day, if you could believe that, called the Daily Source Code. Now, source code, if you may know, is terminology that deals with developing software. And he used the Daily Source Code as a way to sort of crowdsource development on several different projects that have gone a long way to develop podcasting. He helped to develop a podcatcher called Juice. Actually, it was called iPodder, but Apple didn't like that name, and so he backed down, and they eventually changed it to Juice. He had something called Podshow, which has now evolved to be Mevio.com. And he also was at the forefront of allowing starting musicians to make their music available for podcasters on the PodSafe Music Network. That can be found now on MusicAlley.com. So he was quite an entrepreneur. In fact, one of the things he did that makes me laugh is that he registered the domain MTV.com long before MTV decided that it was necessary to have an internet domain, and of course eventually had to give that back. In fact, doing my research, I discovered a very cute and, I guess, entertaining video on YouTube where Steve Jobs, back in 2005, was talking about podcasting at the All Things D, the D3, so-called D3 conference, and he played a little bit of Adam Curry's intro, and I think he was somewhat surprised about what he heard, because he obviously hadn't listened to it ahead of time. I'll leave it to you to play. The URL for that is on my show notes, but here's a little clip of the kind of production value that Adam Curry had when he did his Daily Source Code.
Your Daily Source Code, show number 180.
Something remarkable is happening here. Radio is springing free of the regulated gatekeepers who've managed what you can hear since radio was invented. It's jumping into the hands of anyone at all with something or nothing to say.
With $16 million worth of airplanes strapped to my ass, then the next generation radio content in my ears.
We don't need no stinking transmitter.
I like to think I'm flying into the future.
Podcasting is Adam Curry.
That's right, it's show number 180, and it's Friday, everybody. Thank God.
The power of your influence.
I've actually had to restart the show 3 times. My Mac has been acting up.
So I mentioned that RSS 2.0 really is what makes podcasting work. RSS 1, the original RSS, really enabled blogs or weblogs. What RSS 2.0 did was allowed the user to put an enclosure, which was really just a link to a file, to an external file, and that could be an MP3 audio file or a video file or anything, PDF or whatever. But if you include an MP3 file in the RSS feed, then that's what really has enabled podcasting. Now, I think that'll become a little bit more clear as I go into a little bit more depth. So who's doing podcasting? Certainly a lot of experienced bloggers, tech-savvy amateurs, professional broadcasters are doing it now, and you hear quite a lot. In fact, NPR, which I like to listen to a lot, some of the shows like In the Media, Car Talk or whatever, they're all available now on podcasts. One of my favorites to listen to these days, since Adam Curry is no longer doing his Daily Source Code, is This Week in Tech, and I highly recommend that. It's a show put on by Leo Laporte, who actually has a whole stable of podcasts on different topics on Google, on Android, and so on. And certainly educational institutions do podcasting by virtue of doing recording lectures and putting them online for students and for the general public. Podcast is really growing. If you look at a directory such as Podcast Alley, they list over 91,000 podcasts. And even more impressive is in iTunes, which is becoming the de facto way to subscribe to podcasts. They list over 1 billion podcast subscribers. So there are people all over the world, 1 billion, that are subscribing to podcasts. So, how do you podcast? Well, for the podcast producer, first thing you have to do is record an audio file in MP3 format. You have to upload that file and also create show notes. Otherwise, nobody's going to know how to find your podcast or what's in the podcast. So you want to give people a hint as to what's in there, and so you create show notes and you can upload that to a web server. Basically, the show notes are in the format of a blog. And certainly, I used to say it's optional, but it's really mandatory these days. Then you have to submit your feed to iTunes. Anybody can do that. It doesn't cost anything, but that's the best way to allow people to find your podcasts. Now, for the podcast listener, it's pretty simple these days. Again, iTunes is the main way. You go to either the show website and click on the link to play it directly right from the website, or subscribe to the podcast feed with iTunes, and you can sync it to your portable player. Although there are some more seamless ways to do that now. So podcasting requires hardware and software. You need a PC or a Mac. You need a microphone. Of course, you need a server to host your MP3 files and your show notes. And this is something you're probably going to rent, although you could have your own. And there's software requirements. You certainly need an editor for your sound files and, as I mentioned, the blog software. So let me take you through the steps to create a podcast. You need to buy a good quality microphone, and certainly condenser microphones are the best. Look for a USB connection on the mic so you can plug it into your PC or Mac. You might even have a battery-powered remote microphone recorder if you do field recording. And there are a number of apps that allow you to record sound directly on an iPhone or an Android device, although you won't find the mics have very good quality there. Now, audio quality is paramount. That's why I emphasize the fact of getting a good quality condenser microphone. And just to prove the point, I'm going to play a little clip now from my very first podcast back in 2006, and you can judge for yourself.
This is my first podcast, as mentioned. And we'll be doing some testing along the way, and you may be interested in seeing how you can enhance your content by adding your own podcast.
You can hear the frequency seems to be a little higher, a little bit raspier, a little bit more irritating. And so it's hard to listen to a long podcast, especially if you don't have high quality sound. Next, you need to be able to edit the audio. The one that most people use, and I've used it for quite some time, is Audacity. Audacity is a free sound editor. It's available for the Mac and PC. So just do a Google search for Audacity and you can find it. Another one, which I also use, is GarageBand. And of course, that's an Apple product. It's also available on the Mac or PC. And it's much more sophisticated. It's really designed for doing music, but it works great as a podcast editor. It has a lot more bells and whistles, and I like the simplicity of Audacity to do the actual editing. But then I use GarageBand to put all the pieces together, like I was doing today when I was recording this podcast. I have several different audio clips, so this is the way I can piece together all the clips into one continuous MP3 file. You've picked your microphone, you've recorded the audio, and you've edited it, and now you need to be able to publish it. So there are a number of ways to publish your audio file. There are some services that actually offer free or very low-cost hosting of the audio file. I happen to do it myself on a website host that stores my files. But one that I've heard a lot of good things about is Libsyn, L-I-B-S-I-N. And, of course, at a university, you might use Blackboard or some other learning management system to host your podcast file. Then you have to publish your show notes. I mentioned show notes really are formatted like a blog, so I would recommend free blogging software. I happen to use Blogger, which is another Google company. You can get there by going to blogger.com. Of course, WordPress is another very popular blogging platform that you can use to house your show notes. And of course, Blackboard or your other learning management system can also hold that kind of text. Now that you've published your MP3 file and your show notes, then you have to distribute it. And the way to do that is you have to create a feed. And the recommended way to do that these days is using a service called FeedBurner, feedburner.com, another Google company. FeedBurner hosts well over a million feeds for over 500,000 different publishers. So it's certainly the way to go. And what this does, it automatically polls your blog. So you tell it where your blog is, in other words, the URL for where you're hosting your blog. It automatically polls that on a periodic basis, probably once a day or even more. And then whoever has subscribed through the FeedBurner site, and I'll get to that in a moment, it passes along that URL. And of course, the URL from your blog has the link to the MP3 file. So what do I mean by subscribe? Well, you'll see that little orange square that looks like, a little half of a rainbow. It's usually an orange. That's sort of the universal RSS symbol. And if you click on that, you can put that URL into something like iTunes or another podcatcher, and that will automatically download the podcast when they're available. Or if the podcast uses the email subscription widget, and you'll see that on my podcast, you can enter your email address and click the subscribe button, and you'll be notified every time there's a new podcast episode. Then there's also different ways to promote your podcast. Certainly iTunes is the most important, but there are other podcast directories that you can use to promote your podcast. So now, how do you listen to a podcast? Well, you're listening to this one, so I don't have to tell you too much, but if this is your first time and you stumbled on this, obviously you may have found this through iTunes or some other service, so I'm not going to spend much time on this, but the thing I did want to point out for those of you who are maybe new to this is that there are various podcast apps now on your mobile devices. Apple has something called Podcast, My Podcast, and you can subscribe directly on your mobile device, not have to go through iTunes. So what are the benefits for teaching and learning? I found a pretty neat interview of several podcasters on, believe it or not, USA Today Talking Tech. And again, the URL is on my show notes. But they interview some podcasters and they talk about their advantages and why they like to do it and so on. But let me just give you a scenario which probably makes a lot of sense for you. If you're with an educational institution, you have a student. Student Jane had to leave her class early to attend some urgent personal business, and she knew she could catch up on her professor's podcast the next morning. That night, she docked her iPad to her PC, and while she slept, her iTunes podcatcher downloaded the previous day's lectures and several other podcasts of interest. And in the morning, she grabbed her iPod and listened to the lecture she missed while riding the bus to school. So this is probably a pretty common scenario, and this points up the fact that certainly learning management systems these days do usually support podcasting. I know it does here at the University of the Sciences, where we use MediaSite and Panopto, and for both of those systems, you can subscribe to the podcast. So what are the benefits for teaching learning? Sort of in summary, I would say that students can learn on the move while commuting or exercising. And something the students really like is they can review the material often and with fast playback. So most playback, like the Apple products, you can play back the podcast at double speed. Now, they don't sound like Mickey Mouse, but it just sounds faster. So it's a perfect way for reviewing things quickly. It's certainly a perfect platform for language learning, where you need to listen to something over and over again. In fact, faculty can use podcasts to help flip the classroom. So you can assign audio or video podcasts for students to prepare on their own and then devote your classroom activities for more collaboration and classroom exercises. One of the questions I get is, what's the big deal about podcasting? You can have a live internet connection and you can play all kinds of things, music and audio from any website. Well, that may be true, but the nice part about podcasting is you don't have to have a live internet connection, because it implies that you've downloaded the actual episode and on your device and you no longer need a live internet connection. It's great if you don't have a data plan on your phone and you download them when you're on Wi-Fi at home or through your desktop PC. So podcasting, I think, is still growing. It's going to become more ubiquitous with increasing use of smartphones and widespread Wi-Fi availability. So I expect that it's going to be, the term may actually fade in the background, but I think you're going to be seeing the utilization of audio podcasts like this for quite some time. There are studies that show that even if it's visual material, sometimes the audio is just as popular, because students can listen where they can't watch. If they're driving or they're doing exercising, it's much more convenient to actually listen rather than watch, and safe. So if you check out my show notes, you'll see some links to several different resources to follow up and learn more about podcasting, how to do it. And also on my show notes, there's a link to a slide deck which gives some more resources, links, for example, a listing of scholarly publications about the pedagogy of using podcasting. So there you have it. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the full song on a podcast. Until next time, have a great week.
For today's episode, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.